And then he says, but because of these, we know we're going to die, what do we do? He says in other passages in his work, Quan says, we go dancing. Okay, if he were alive today, he'd say, we go play a video game or a computer game or we watch football on television. We do something to divert our attention. You know, Blaise Pascal says it's like we're running towards the edge of a cliff full speed and we put our hand in front of our eyes the whole way so we don't see where we're going. Okay? And so basically what I'm saying is, if you reach a point where you think you're going to die, well, that's where you should have been already. Because the fact of the matter, I don't know, it might be 30 years, it might be 40 years, it might be 50 years. Some of us might live to be 70, 80, 90. Some of us may even live to be 100. But eventually, unless the Lord Jesus returns, we're all going to die. Okay? If you can't find deliverance from that problem called death, nothing else, everything else is a diversion, it's just a waste of time. And so, whatever the case, I think we need to remind ourselves, mankind lies to himself as if the death issue has been solved. There's only one possible way the issue of death, man's greatest enemy, has been defeated. There's only one way that the death issue has been solved, and that's if Jesus is who he really claimed to be, and if he really did rise from the dead. And so I was on my knees thinking, man, I'm going down. I'm getting weak. But he rose. I'm scared, Lord. I'm nervous. I can't figure out how to take care of my wife while I'm alive. How am I going to be able to take care of her while I'm dead? But he rose. See, you conquer the grave, you take care of my wife. Okay? You want to go through life without trust in Jesus' resurrection, that's something I can't do. There is no hope. No resurrection and no hope. Paul talks about the importance of the resurrection in verses 14 to 19. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty and your faith is also empty. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, I'm wasting my time and your time right now. Okay? Verse 15, yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men the most pitiable. Okay? And so Paul makes it very, very clear that the resurrection is so important that if Jesus did not rise, Christianity is false, it does not save, and we are still dead in our sins. If believers will not rise, then Jesus didn't rise. If Jesus didn't rise, then Christians remain lost in sin. If we have hope in Jesus, and he didn't rise, we're wasting our time, our hope is in vain. Now, in verses 20 to 23, we really don't have time to look at it, but Paul refers to Jesus. He says that Jesus fulfilled the feast of first fruits, and all that means is that Jesus guarantees, his resurrection guarantees our resurrection. So that we know, each one of us knows, we will eventually die. We can have hope because Jesus conquered the grave. Let me tell you, everybody in the world acts like, to one degree or another, unless they commit suicide, everybody in the world pretty much acts like we have hope. But if they deny the resurrection, there's no reason to live like we have hope. There's only one guarantee that the grave has been conquered, and that Jesus is resurrected. So Jesus is resurrected, guarantees our resurrection. Verses 24 to 28, Paul tells us that Jesus has defeated death for us. Verses 35 to 49, Paul, you know, the Corinthians are like, how can we be raised from the dead and live forever in bodies? sees that bodies, by definition, fall apart and die. How can we have bodies that never die? So in verses 35 to 49, Paul talks about the fact that our mortal bodies must put on immortality. The same bodies, but changed. Look at verses 42 to 44 of 1 Corinthians 15. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown, it's buried in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. Now really, he translated the natural body, the bodies we have now, our natural bodies that will be buried will be raised supernatural bodies. So the words in the Greek are psychikon, okay? That's a natural body. It means a soulish body. So we have a soulish body, somehow bodies may be controlled by the soul. But when we die, we will be buried. But when Jesus raises us, our soulish bodies will be transformed into spiritual bodies. Okay? Pneumatikos. Spiritual bodies. And so we have natural bodies now, then we'll have supernatural bodies. So our bodies will be, and by the way, the word it is so important there. Because what is buried? It is buried. That which is buried is that which is going to be raised. Okay? When Jesus appeared to his disciples, the holes in his hands and his feet and his pierced side, that wasn't make-believe. Those were the real wounds that he suffered. Okay? The scourge marks were all gone, but God the Father chose to leave those wounds as a reminder of what Jesus did for us and also as verification that he rose in the same body in which he was crucified. Okay? Now let me say this. We underestimate the spiritual body because we think that with Jesus' spiritual body, he could go through walls. And we just leave it at that. Listen, when Jesus appeared over a period of 40 days, it seems like he only appeared on Sunday. Okay? So he wasn't hiding under a canoe the other 6 days a week. All right? When he told Mary Magdalene, right after he rose from the dead, he's clinging on to me. He said, stop clinging on to me. I haven't yet ascended to my Father. I don't think he was saying, stop holding on to me. If you hold on to me for 40 more days, I won't be able to ascend to my Father. No. I think what he's saying is, look, I got a schedule to keep, and my next appointment is at the Father's right hand. So stop clinging on to me, because I got to go be at my Father's right hand real quick. It seems to me, because I don't think Jesus was outside the upper room, looked around, made sure nobody's looking, floated up in the air, got absorbed into the wall, popped out the other side. Okay? It wasn't going through walls that was going on. It was much greater than that. I think Jesus was, the best that I can explain it, I think in your supernatural body, no longer hindered by the limitations of the natural body and the physical world, no longer hindered the presence of sin has done to our bodies, no longer with those limitations, I think Jesus is traveling at the speed of thought. Okay? So if I say Hawaii, everybody thinks about Hawaii. Okay? You go there in your mind, but your body is still here, whether you like it or not, still there watching. Okay? I believe with our resurrection bodies, you can just choose to be somewhere and then be there. Okay? And so that's just one of the things. So many of the limitations will have been removed. But the thing is, it's the same body, but it's a body that has been changed. And so our mortal bodies must put on immortality, the same body, but changed. And now let's take a look at verses 15 through the end of the chapter, and we'll be closing with this. And Paul says this, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. What Paul is saying is, the way we are in our present state, we cannot endure heaven. Okay? We're not going to inherit the kingdom of God in this present state. We've got to be changed, and that's going to occur at Jesus' return. Look at verses 51 to 53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Okay? And so we must all be changed. We're told here, not all believers are going to die, but we will all be changed at Christ's return. Our bodies must put on immortality. Now, let me say this. There are going, you look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 13, 18. There are going to be believers who are alive when Jesus returns. Okay? Those people, though, they're still flesh and blood. And their flesh and blood bodies, they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so, they have to be transformed. And by the way, don't take flesh and blood too literally here. All it's talking about is, Paul's using it as a phrase for the frailty of the present state of human existence. Because when Jesus rose, and I don't know how much we should make out of it, but he said, touch my body. A body does not have a spirit like I, a spirit does not have a body like I have. I have a body of flesh and bone, is what Jesus said. So Paul isn't saying you got to get rid of your flesh, but he's saying you got to be transformed from this present state of existence into a higher state of existence to be able to handle heaven. So those who are alive will be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Their mortal bodies will put on immortality even without dying, and they'll meet the Lord in the air, but not until after those who died in Christ will be raised first. And then their bodies transform in the twinkling of an eye, and they put on their immortal bodies, and then they return with Christ. So when you get a chance to get home, read 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 to 18. And then verses 54 to 57. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we're told that we have victory over death, man's greatest enemy. We have victory over death through Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Lord, he is God, he is the Christ, he is the Messiah, and he has defeated death and the grave for us. Now the application is given to us right here. He has defeated death for us, man's greatest enemy. In verse 58, Paul says this, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor, your work, is not in vain in the Lord. So Paul tells us, be steadfast, be immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. You know, that's what Paul says in Galatians 6:9. That do not weary from doing good. You want to get weary from doing evil. Great, that's good. And then maybe you'll stop doing evil. But don't get weary from serving God. Continue to be all that God calls you to be, knowing that our work in the Lord is not in vain. And so, in conclusion, I have four things to say. Number one, because Jesus rose, we can face the trials of life. Okay? If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, to be totally honest with you, you know, it's like Paul says earlier on, if the dead are not raised, you know, if Jesus didn't rise, the dead won't be raised. If the dead are not raised, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Okay? No hope is without the resurrection. Because Jesus rose, we can face the trials of life. Because Jesus conquered the grave, we have hope. Any hope in anything other than Jesus and his death and resurrection, that's false hope. you're lying. He's like, you might get an atheist and says, look at that guy. That guy is such a loser. He just smokes pot. He gets high. He just tries to escape reality. But be totally honest, the atheist is just doing it on a different level. Maybe he's not breaking any laws, any man's laws, but the fact of the matter is, if you place your hope in anything but the risen Savior, you put your hope in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ, and it's a false hope. Because Jesus conquered the grave, we have hope. Because Jesus is risen, death, man's greatest enemy, has been defeated. I'm sure most of you, like me, have been to funerals of many of your loved ones. And the tragedy, the dishonor, the shame of death, it's a weird feeling. But we have hope because Jesus is risen. He has conquered the grave. And then finally, because Jesus rose, we know that our work in the Lord is not in vain. Okay? You might be serving Jesus and being kind to people and sharing the gospel message in both word and deed, and maybe nobody's looking and nobody's giving any credit for you. Maybe you've been, like Jesus, unjustly accused of something, and people think you're a loser when in actuality you're a powerful servant for the Lord, and behind closed doors you're serving Him. Maybe you're the kind of servant who serves others. You fix cars for them and mow their lawn and stuff. And nobody, if I preach a good sermon, there'll be 5 or 6 people tell me, hey, great job, you preached a good sermon. People will listen to my sermons on the internet and will email me and stuff. I doubt very much that people who serve others by buying their groceries or mowing their lawn or painting their house, I doubt that the whole neighborhood gets together and claps. Yeah, look at that guy paint that house for other person. And you can get weary doing good, and you can say, you know what? Nobody cares. Nobody knows what I'm doing. Nobody sees. The Lord sees. When you're out there serving the King, and serving His people, and serving others, because of the Lord Jesus Christ, your work is not in vain. Because Jesus rose from the dead, death has been conquered. We will be raised, and our work for God's kingdom will not be in vain. So we don't grow weary in doing good. The world can laugh at us. The world can mock. Let me tell you, when all of a sudden death is near, or they think death is near, I don't even know if they're going to get on their knees. But if they get on their knees, what's gonna give them hope? If there's no resurrection, there's no hope, and everything is in vain. But if Jesus rose, and He did, our work is not in vain. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, in Jesus' precious name, we love You, Lord, and we thank You for sending Your Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins, to take our punishment for us. And we thank You for raising Him from the dead and conquering death for us. And so I pray that each and every person here would trust in Your Son, Jesus, alone for salvation, realizing that there is salvation in no one else, that only through Jesus can our sins be forgiven. Only through Jesus can death be conquered. And so I pray that each and every one of us here would ask Jesus to be their Savior and acknowledge that there's salvation in no one else. And so I pray, Lord, that each and every person here would repeat these words after me. For those of us who believe, that we just recommit our lives to Your Son, Jesus, for salvation. For those of us who never asked Jesus to be our Savior, I pray that for the first time in our lives, we would ask Jesus to save us and forgive us of our sins. So please repeat after me, Lord, I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. So I thank You for sending Your Son, who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead to conquer death for me. I now trust in Jesus for salvation and ask Him to be my Savior and ask Him to guide me throughout my life until he returns for me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, God bless you. Happy Resurrection Day. Feel free to stay and just, if we can get to know you and get to fellowship with you, happy. God bless everybody.